Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, clearing my throat a little bit. Okay, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And glad you're here. Glad you're with me. Thanks for tuning in and revving up your internet. We're all over the world, folks. I get calls and guests from all over the world. And that's very exciting. That's very exciting to me. It makes me want to keep on doing what I'm doing. And like I said before, I want to thank everybody who has contacted me with positive feedback on the show and on what I do or try to do. And all of that's encouraging and all of that's wonderful. And I applaud you. I thank you. And I couldn't do this if it wasn't for you. I mean, because it's all about people and it's all about making the world a better place. One show at a time, you know, giving of our effort in making somebody's lives, somebody's life, if I can say it, a little bit better. And that's all it's about. That's all it's about. It's about helping you. You know, it's about helping you out, getting the word out about what you do that is positive, that is going to help to make the world a better place. And that's what it's all about, folks. It's all about that. And it's nothing more, nothing less. And I enjoy what I'm doing. I applaud all the people around the city of Chicago who are helping to mentor young people and, you know, making sure that they stay out off the streets and out of trouble. That's great. That's wonderful. I applaud all those people. And to me, those people are leaders. They're the ones who are the real leaders, who are there actually on hand for the young people to keep them out of jail, you know, keep them from shooting one another. But you know what? You're always going to have those thugs out there. The thugs are out there. The bad guys are out there. And they're going to shoot because that's what they do. And that's what they like. But if we can get some kids who are on the brink and turn them around, turn their lives around, try to get them to be a productive part of society, That is so wonderful. And I applaud all the people who are doing that. And there are some great, great programs around the city that the mayor is employing. And I have to give him a fist bump on that, because I think that's a very positive move on his part. And I've been critical of the mayor, and I'm pretty sure a lot of us have. But when he does something that's remarkable, especially for the city youth, I think he deserves a hand clap. You know, I've criticized him thousands of times, and we all have. But we need to get a handle on Chicago's crime. It is totally out of control. And it's getting more out of reach as I sit here and speak. But I have a positive feeling about Chicago. I have a positive feeling that we're going to turn this around. If everybody lend a hand and effort in this, I think we can turn the tables on this saga of crime interest in the city of Chicago. I think we can get those numbers down significantly, if not, you know, eradicate crime in the city of Chicago altogether. I know that's positive thinking, but that somehow I believe that, because there's so many people who are trying and doing, and they're trying and putting a lot of effort in trying to do something about this. And that's great. I mean, you have to do something about it. You can't just sit around and lay around and do nothing and complain. You have to get up off that couch, get out there and take your neighborhood back. You know, any way you can, take your neighborhood back. Do not run from your community. Do not move from your neighborhood. Stand up to the thugs, the gangbangers, the shooters, and take back your neighborhood by any means necessary. That's where you live. That's your neighborhood. That's your community. Get the bad guys out. Majority of the time, the gangbangers and the bad guys, they actually are not residents of the neighborhood. They come from some other part of the city, and they settle in some of these low-income neighborhoods and communities and start to intimidate the people, threaten the people who are law-abiding citizens of the city of Chicago. And I just heard recently, I mean, not recently, but actually a moment ago, that the mayor is saying to Donald Trump to send in the feds. And I'm saying send in the feds also. I mean, if we need help in getting down this crime rate in the city of Chicago, we're going to need all the help we can get. You know, and that's not saying anything bad about the police department. I have been very critical of the police department also, and I think it was warranted. But send in the feds. And that even, in my mind, that is also includes the National Guard. I know there's some people out there who are steadfast against the National Guard, but help is help. Help is help. Stop the killing. Stop the carnage. Help is help. Chicago is in a crisis. You know, I know there are some people out there, they're adamantly against the National Guard. Why? Because they are making up all kinds of reasons for not having the National Guard. They say, well, we don't need the National Guard. We need jobs. We need programs. We need mentoring. We need education. I agree. But the bad guys are still going to be there regardless. They are still going to be like roaches and insect and bugs all in the neighborhood, bullying and shooting these young children who are trying to get a job and an education. I agree. Resources are needed in some of these communities, but also policing is needed in these communities. Policing. So yeah, I'm still steadfast on bringing in the National Guard. I don't care what anybody else thinks. You can disagree with me. You can yell at me. You can call me stupid and crazy. I don't care. I care about the city of Chicago. And I see right now the police department is not doing very much to bring down crime in the city of Chicago. Like, for example, For example, 2017, January of 2017, the crime statistics for this year is higher than the crime statistics were of January of 2016. So that tells you something right now. And the police are saying themselves to send in federal help. Whether that includes the National Guard or agents or whatever, the U.S. Army. We need help. These people are there to help. Why not use them? I know that there are some, I'm going to say this again. I know there's some leaders around the city of Chicago are blasting. No National Guard. None of that. No. Stupid. I think it's very stupid. That's what the National Guard, that's why they're here, to quell any kind of disruption in some of our communities, our neighborhoods. The minute there's a riot or something, there's the National Guard. And when there's a riot, there are not that many people who are dying in riots as there are in some of these high crime neighborhoods and communities. I'm all for the National Guard, but I know there's some people. I don't think the mayor wants the National Guard. I don't think the superintendent wants the National Guard. But hey, this is just the George Wilder Jr. show talking here. This is just my show, okay? And I'm seeing the crime statistics, the carnage mount in the city of Chicago. The police department is overwhelmed. They may even be under performing in some of these neighborhoods. There's nothing wrong. I really dismiss anybody who says that anybody around the city of Chicago who says bring in the National Guard. You've got some neighborhood people who live in some of these neighborhoods with high crime themselves saying that they will accept the National Guard in their communities if it will keep their children from dying. Maybe some of these leaders around the city of Chicago should go talk to some of these people in some of these high crime communities where these gangbangers and thugs are shooting each and every night. Talk to them. I bet you they'll tell you that they would love to have the National Guard in their community if that's going to keep themselves and their children alive. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. It's another, I want to turn the tables a little bit, folks, on this, because this is February 1st, 2017. And February 1st, 2017, a new law has been enacted in the city of Chicago. And that new law is when you go to the store, I've talked about this yesterday, I believe I just touched on it, but I did talk about it. There's a new law just enacted on February 1st, 2017, the city of Chicago. It could be elsewhere, but I do know that it's a city tax on bringing your own bag. I mean, they're charging you for bags. I mean, if you go to the store, to shop, supermarket, or wherever you're going, you're going to pay for your bag. I mean, you go to Target or you go to some of these department stores, you're going to pay for a bag. You go shopping, no matter where you go shopping, anywhere in the city of Chicago, if you go shopping and you need a bag, you're going to pay for it. I mean, it's 7 cents, 7 cents a bag. I mean, this is law. This is another tax by City Hall. And it's gone into effect, because I was just at the store today, and the young lady behind the counter was saying, well, you know, you have to pay 7 cents for a bag. I said, yeah, I know that. It's all over the news. It's all over everywhere. Yes, she said, you know, so I actually bought a couple of bags. And but, you know, I'm going to tell everybody right now that we are being taxed up the ass in the city of Chicago. Tax this, they tax that. Whatever you use, whatever you need, whatever you have to have, they're going to find a way to tax it. If they can tax the air you breathe, they're going to tax that. These guys are always finding a way to get in our pockets. And then they try to explain it away by saying that they're taxing us to try to get us to do better, or they're taxing us to get us to watch our health. They make up these excuses to why they're taxing us all the time. Well, we're taxing you because we think that you should change your behavior of doing this or doing that. But they try to cover it up, you know, and it's not working. It's a tax. You know, some people say, well, it's just a 7 cents tax. It's just an 11 cent tax. They're pretty sure that you will not feel it. It's not going to bother you any. Yes, it will. Yes, it will, because those 7 cents, they add up. But however, it is really a windfall for the city of Chicago. I mean, you're charging 7 cents for a bag, and you got all these people shopping. That's millions and millions of dollars each year in the city's pocket. You know, it really goes up for them. And I'm here to tell everybody right now, if you're shopping, if you go to the store a lot and you like to shop, bring your own bag. You know, get back at these people. Do not buy those bags. Do not buy your bag. Bring your own bag. And, you know, so they will stop raising taxes on us at every juncture, at every end. Stop buying bags. Make sure you bring your own bags. You know, if you're going shopping, it doesn't matter where you go. Bring your own bags. That way you can get even with the city for raising these taxes on you every time you turn around. Every time you turn around, these guys are going into your pockets. And they're justifying with, well, we're trying to watch out for your health or something like that, because I think there is a 12 cent tax on soda, on sugar. And the excuse is, well, we don't want you to get diabetes. We don't want you to get fat. So we're putting a 12 cent tax on soda so you can live healthier. I mean, you put a 12 cent tax on soda, people are still going to buy it. They're still going to get fat. You know, so that's a weak excuse, you know, but they figure we don't know any better. And 12 cents, we're not going to feel 12 cents. It's not going to hurt us. And, you know, but it will hurt us. I mean, if you don't have much money, you're on fixed income or you're on welfare or whatever, it will hurt. So I'm saying to people, bring your own bags. Don't even buy any bags. Just have your own bags with you. Get back at the city for always nickel and diming us. You know, but you know what? And I think it will work. Just like we boycotted the buses back in 1955 when what is her name? Rosa Parks was told to get off the bus, was arrested because she wouldn't get up and give her seat to a white man. Let's boycott this tax by not buying any bags. And the city will not get any money from you or me, tax money. Bring your own bag, you know. That's what it's all about. Bring your own bag. Save money. Save your money from going into the city. They still haven't really explained what they're going to do with it. They're going to put it in some sort of fund or some sort of bank or something. I don't know. But it's ridiculous. Since this is the city taxing us. Last time, I think it was the county. You know, I think it's the county who's suggesting or have implemented a tax on soda. And then there's the high property taxes that everyone has to pay. Even if you're a renter, you have to pay property taxes because the landlord is going to raise your rent. And when he raises your rent, property taxes is included in your rent. Never think you're not paying it. Believe me, even if you're a renter, as a condo owner, you know you're paying it. A homeowner, I mean, it's a non-issue. But for most renters are, you got a lot of renters here out here who are very, very naive on the rent that they pay. You know, your property taxes are all in there. Then you have some renters who rent apartments. They don't pay light bill or gas bill. At least they think they don't. All of this is included in your rent. Don't be fooled. These people are not going to let you get away with anything. You're going to pay through your nose. But the bottom line is, we have a 7-cent tax on bags in the city of Chicago enacted today. That's a law. And in some places, the bags are 7 cents. And in some places, they're saying that the merchant has the discretion of charging you for a bag or not charging you for a bag. I don't understand that if it's the law. You know, I really don't understand that part of it. But anyway, I'm telling people, and some of you should realize this and think that bring your own bag. When you go to the store, take your own bag. You know, and save some money. Stop the city from taxing us to death. Bring your own bag. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. And here is, let me see what we got here. Bill Maher, break music. All right, Facebook is all a buzz. I mean, for the last week or so, it's been all a buzz about politics. People have been posting all kinds of things about politics on Facebook and Twitter. I'm pretty sure other websites too, other social media websites. And people can be very, very cruel on some of these sites. I mean, they can be really, really, I mean, the unfriending is phenomenal. It's just out of control. I mean, people are fighting. Arguing, debating, bitching, and it's all about politics, you know, and it's just out of control on Facebook, you know, and I've lost a lot of friends because of my politics, and I'm not the only one. A lot of people have, you know, a lot of people have lost friends. And but that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. If you can't agree to disagree, then you probably shouldn't be friends in the first place. You know, it doesn't make a lot of people aren't into politics. They don't know a Democrat from a Republican. you know. So, and a lot of them are, you know, they're sick and tired of the political post. I'm sick and tired of them, you know, because, you know, but I think it's a learning curve for a lot of people. Then you have some people who don't post at all, but they're always sitting in the background watching what you post, you know, but they don't say anything. They don't post. They don't write. They don't interact. But you know, they're there. You know, they're looking and they're watching. And then sometimes these people who are just there, who do not participate in the conversation, you know, suddenly if you write something, they're being very critical of it. But most of the time, these people who do not interact, who do not respond on Facebook, who do not, you know, take part in the conversation, some are very, very critical. And that pisses me off. I mean, hey, wow, you can't say nothing nice. You can't click like or whatever. And it's okay. I mean, even myself, I post a lot of political. I guess the reason why I get so political on Facebook and other places because I care about the country. I'm not Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I would not be either or. But, you know, because I stand back and I criticize people from afar. And if they're not doing the right thing or whatever. But, you know, on Facebook, sometimes we just use Facebook to vent our frustrations, you know. And I don't think it should be a place where people fight and argue and can't get along. People calling each other names and saying really awful and vicious things, you know, pertaining to being political. You know, this is a very, very fluent political environment. So people are into it. They have their own opinions about what's going on. And I applaud some of these people because a lot of the posts that I see, that I read that are political, sometimes I agree with them, sometimes I do not, but I do not unfriend someone just because I disagree with their political statement that they're making. You know, but you got people out there that will do that. I mean, I don't agree with, you know, they don't agree with you, so they unfriend you or they'll send you a nasty post, you know, in your inbox or something, you know, and they're very, very mean, very vicious, very, I think, unstable. But you have to have and there are some people, I'm going to say this, I was going to say something else. There are some people who really get hurt by people unfriending them. I mean, they have heartaches when a person unfriend them. They really take it hard when they're unfriend. And some people do that. Most of the time it's a woman. They take it very hard, you know, because, but, you know, if someone unfriends me, you know, I just replace them. That's all I do. I don't think about it because I'm going to say this again, you know, if you unfriend me and I've done nothing whatsoever to you, then, you know, you weren't meant to be my friend in the first place. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. You can always find me on Facebook, Blog Talk, right here. Follow me and LinkedIn. I think I'm on Instagram, Google me. You know, my name is all over the place. I've just got my, earlier today, I went to the mailbox and I just got my Amazon W-2 form. I'm assuming it's a W-2 form. And I was surprised because, you know, my royalties for what I write was larger than I expected. I just love surprises. And this was a surprise. It wasn't a great surprise. It wasn't a big surprise, but it was a surprise. And it just motivates me to keep on writing, to keep on doing what I'm doing. And to know that people out there actually reading what I write. And that's one of the greatest things that a writer can find out, that people are all around the world are reading what you've written and you're getting paid for it. I mean, what is that? That's great. That's fun, right? All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's go to the phones and see what happens. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hello, this is Joy Elon.
Yeah, I know. You're Joy Elon. I'm fine. You're one of my Facebook friends.
Yes. Nice to meet you finally.
Yeah, finally. I mean, I knew you was coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, Joy Elon is on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, give us a little bio about yourself and tell us a little something we don't know. And talk about your book.
I am Joy Elon. I'm an author of 6 books, but I started off writing as poetry, and I published my first poetry book back in 2011. And mm-hmm. I recently published, I published my first novel. I wanted to get away from poetry and showcase myself as a writer. Mm-hmm. And I've been traveling as a poet, but, you know, I wanted to, you know, push myself to new limits. And I'm from Oakland in Berkeley, California.
All right, great. So turning away from poetry to writing novels, how is that going?
It is different. It's nice. It's great to step out of the bubble, because a lot of people were just calling mm-hmm. me a poet, and I was like, no, I'm an author. Poetry is just one of the forms that I write. So it's great mm-hmm. to really showcase my writing abilities and really show my imaginative side. It's like, man, there's more to me than just poetry, you know. Listen to my stories. So it's great.
Okay, so what is the difference, in case someone doesn't know, what is the difference in your view, what is the difference between, or if there is a difference between poetry and prose?
I don't even, you know, I'm not a professional poet like that knows the difference between prose and poetry. I just know how to just express myself in words and just make it like a song, or like a, you know, like a flow. And I do spoken word pieces. So I'm not an expert on exactly prose like that.
You will be. Yeah, keep at it, keep writing, keep learning, keep out there, keep doing it. And you will not only be an expert, you will be a professional. Just keep doing what you're doing. And all you got to do is just love what you do. If you love what you do, others are going to love what you do also. Okay, tell us about your mm-hmm. book.
So my book, Life is a Canvas, was my first novel. And mm-hmm. It's really based off of my life, but it's basically about a young lady who just graduated from college and grad school, and she like it at the career path, like, what do I want to do next with my life? I've been a student my whole life. And it's mm-hmm. Life as a Canvas is about basically making your life what you want it to be. So she decides to kind of step outside of the traditional, like going corporate and working a 9-to-5 and just going for her dreams and opening up a club, a music club, spoken word venue even, for youth in the Oakland Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh, it sounds interesting. Sounds great. Are you going to be working on any more writings?
Right now, I'm kind of having writer block. I'm like taking a moment to like reevaluate some things and just trying to explore different writing styles. Like lately I've been writing like informational articles online for a blog that I work with, like just to mm-hmm. keep people, just to keep myself writing, but it's not necessarily mm-hmm. a book. But I like to just write like, hey, here's some information for parents or for people or whatever it may be, different topics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You think on making a write? You thinking on making writing a career, or you know, or is it, or will it be a hobby, or what do you think?
Writing for me, I would love to make it my career, but mm-hmm. I've noticed, as you know, we're in a very digital format, in a very digital world, and It's hard to be a self-published author because you really have to wear different hats and know how to get your work out there. I would love for this to be my career, but in the meantime, you know, I have to make it work the best way I can until I do reach that level where I'm like selling copies, you know, on the New York Best Time Seller, you know.
But so, you know what? It's a lot of successful self-publishers out there. To self-publish, you don't have to be a rocket science. It is so easy. It's pitiful. I mean, the traditional publishers that are out here, they cannot stand Amazon or Barnes and Noble, because you can easily become self-published on there. You can do everything yourself. You don't need an agent. You don't need any of this stuff. You can get on Amazon. You can write books like crazy and collect royalties like crazy. So it's very easy. It's nothing to it. You know, if you don't, are you on Amazon?
Yes, I've been with Amazon since my second book. And, you know, you're right. It is way easier than going the traditional route. And,
yeah,
you know, but, you know, for me, because I went from doing poetry, like I used to be able to get up on open mic and do a poem from the book, and I could sell books like easy. But now, because I'm doing a different genre, it's like, oh, wait, she's not just a poet. It's like, okay, I got to get my stuff out to, I'm able to get my stuff out to a wider audience now because I'm doing fiction novels, you know.
Great, great, great. Do you have your novel with you? We would like to hear an excerpt.
Sure. So I have a part where it's me and my friend, well, the character and her friend are meeting and having dinner. And so the friend's name is Leela and the main character is Allegra. So here we go.
Okay.
Something seemed to trigger Leela's memory. Tell you that I applied to study abroad. After I told her that was the first time I was hearing about it, she said, well, I applied a few months ago, and I've just been informed that I'm accepted. I'm going to Europe for a whole year, and I leave in a few weeks. Wait, you're leaving for Europe in a few weeks, and we don't have time to really enjoy our summer? Are you coming home for the holidays? And you know that you really have to use your Yahoo Messenger to talk to me now. Leela laughed. Yeah, I would use my Yahoo Messenger because I'll be like 10 hours ahead of you and we'll be missing each other online. And no, I won't be home for the holidays because it's too expensive to travel back and forth. An idea popped in my head and I said excitedly, looks like I'll be coming to you for the holidays then. What? Are you serious? Yeah, I am, I told her. We'll coordinate our trip so we can meet up and go to Paris or somewhere. I know. How about Italy, Spain, and some other places in France? Oh my goodness, you're really serious. You would meet me out there and we'll travel together? This is insane. When I get out there and learn the system, I'll definitely meet up with you online and we can chat and make arrangements. Cool, I said with a smile. I was crazy for just jumping on this right away, but what did I have to lose? Not my job, and hopefully by then, my business will be in progress.
Oh, that sounds great. It was just so resonating. I was waiting for some more. You know,
you want some more?
A little, just a little.
All right. And what's crazy about this, before I go on, is this really did happen. And it was a cool event with my best friend. She was going to study abroad, and we were in college. And I said, well, I'm definitely coming out to see you. And that's how this story was written, pretty much. So I'm back to the story. I looked at my watch. It's almost 10 o'clock. We better get on the road so I can drop you off. I drove to Hayward from Highway 13, and after arriving to a dorm, I said, I'm excited about how our life is transforming. This will be insane when we are in Europe. Promise we won't be on Girls Gone Wild. She laughed and said, of course not. Lila said, before I go, we have to have a sleepover where we watch Sex in the City DVDs and toast to my new adventure. That's a great idea. Should we do it for our birthday? Our birthdays were in 2 weeks, and we were 2 days apart. She agreed to do it, and we exchanged our love yous, and I headed home. I took out New Edition and put in Tina Marie. I drove home listening to Lover Girl and Ooh La La La. It was such a beautiful summer night with a full moon and a clear navy blue sky. It reminded me of the back of Tina Marie's Star Child cover. While driving, I reflected on what Lila said about me and how I was waiting for someone to come into my life. I thought about the new direction in my life and how I was about to embark on a new journey. School was over for me, and it was time for me to make my own way, whether it was a career or a relationship. But right then, it was my career and how close I was to making it happen.
Wow, that sounds great.
You gotta read the rest.
Yeah, it makes you want to read the rest. It's the kind of story that says, wow, it's like a page turner. And I like stuff like that. That makes you want to turn the page and read more and more and more and more. And also, traditional readers like that kind of thing too. Because most of us like books that where the characters are, you know, I'm a writer too. I do a lot of dialogue. I like my characters to interact with each other. And that seems like what you're doing. So that sounds like a great book. But another thing I want to ask you, you say you're a poet. Can you give us maybe 4 or 5 lines of something poetic that you've written?
Oh, I have one. I have a great piece that I do called Institutional Freedom, and I can do that for you.
Okay.
I'm a prisoner of an institution, not the prison system, but institution of higher learning. They got me tied down and bound. I can't be free. They keep coming after me financially. Even with the degrees, jobs and businesses don't take me seriously. They look at my resume and toss it to the side. You could have sworn that they thought I went to San Quentin or some penitentiary. Instead, they saw 2 rival prestigious universities, and they asked me, who do you represent? I didn't go to them school for the sport. You act like I'm in a game and I have to claim turf. I probably wear my school shirts, but I might as well be wearing prison identification numbers. In actuality, they're picked in before me because they can pay them way less. How is it that I'm competing for the same job for ex-cons and I was told my education is the key? Key to what? Being treated like I did something wrong? Yes, I peep out of the bottom 1% of some schools. Only 20 to 50 of us graduating out of a couple of thousand. Now this job looking at me like I didn't earn my papers. Like the school for doing me a favor, letting me graduate. They're working together to keep me tied down and bound. That's what they are, institutions, keeping me a prisoner in another form. They don't have control over my mind. I'm Andy Dufresne, slowly chipping away at the wall. If it takes me 5, 10, 20 years to get out, so be it. They don't know that I have a plan not to be a prisoner of a company. Nobody's going to be telling me when to eat, sleep, work, and they keep transferring me from prison to prison until I'm old enough to collect Social Security. And all that hard work was just a waste of my life. When I'm out, I'm going to be so long gone and chilling with so much paper, I'm young enough to break free and do as I please.
Oh, wow. Joy, that's great. That was beautiful. I mean, you should keep on writing. I mean, you should never give up poetry. You should also do poetry and write fiction or go to nonfiction. That was beautiful. And and you've done open mic and you've done all of those things. I can see why you've done open mic and people have rushed out to buy the book. I understand that because that was great. That was wonderful. And don't give up poetry. I mean, I think it's great. Don't give it up. I mean, just, you know, when you get writer's block on fiction, go back to poetry. I mean, it's there. I mean, you've got it. You're very talented.
And you're right. It's just that, like, I have been doing poetry for so long that I wanted to break poetry bubble, in a sense.
Because out here, there's only so many.
I know, but like, I do write poetry as therapy, but, like, to keep doing spoken words, sometimes, like, I found myself, because I would perform it. And I have performed. Like, I've opened for, like, comedians like Joe Torre, and I've won awards for my poetry. But what people don't understand is poetry can take a lot out of you.
Yeah, well. But it may be true. It may be able to take a lot out of you, but it'll give you so much back. I mean, you get so much feedback from the audience. They will be clapping. They will be roaring for you. I mean, they will be just, you say you're winning awards and they're buying your book, you know, so why depart from that? You can do poetry and fiction. I'm just trying to motivate you because I think you're a very talented person. You know, I mean, you can do what you want to do. It's your life. But I'm just saying as a radio host and a writer myself that you're very talented. And I think you should keep at it and show the world, you know what I'm saying? One more question. Mm-hmm. What would you tell aspiring writers who are thinking about to quit? How would you tell them to keep on writing?
Writing, but always stay writing. I don't care if we have a journal. I don't care. A lot of people are starting to go to their phones now and write. I don't care. Whatever. Just always put your ideas to paper because that's the best way to bring words to life. The other thing is, I'm not sure if you can tell and if you didn't know, but I have a hearing loss. I was born with a hearing loss, and you know, I learned that words are powerful. I may not, I used to have a hard time kind of speaking, and I learned that I can still write clear English and people can still understand what I'm trying to say if I put my thoughts to paper and people can read it. And what I love about writing is now that we can publish and all these avenues to get our words out there, when I leave this earth, or when we leave this earth, our words, our ideas will always be around. So don't give up. Always keep writing. And if you feel like take me for example, okay, I got tired of writing poetry for a while, but there were other ways that I could write and get my ideas and my thoughts to paper. So there are different ways to write and get those messages and help other people. So don't give up. You know, it's very important. People need to hear, especially times like this, people need to hear new ideas because the same old, same old. It's time, sometimes we got to break that.
Yeah, the world is changing and you need to change right with it if you're a writer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now tell us, where can we find your books and your material?
I have a website, www.authorjoyelan.com. Simply Google me, Joy Elan. Yeah. And there is a photographer named Joy Elan, so that's not me. But if you put author in front of everything, Joy Elan, I have a Reverb Nation, Instagram, Facebook. I also have a YouTube channel. You can see my videos and see my poetry performances. So I'm easy to get in touch with, and I travel. So just check me out, and I may be coming to an area near you.
Yeah, you're all over the place. That's great. Hey, I'll talk to you soon on Facebook. Thanks for being on the show. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Joy Elan on the George Wilder Jr. Show. She was beautiful. She was great. I hope she comes back. I'm going to send her a link to the show a little later on in the show. She was beautiful. All righty. We're back to talking about bring your own bag. We're going to take a little break here. Who is this right here? Here we go, folks.
Let's make it cool on your love. Ow! 24 hours ago, on Holocaust Remembrance Day, Donald Trump signed an executive order banning immigrants and visa holders from Libya, Sudan, Somalia, Iran, and Yemen for 90 days, with Syrian refugees banned indefinitely. Now, it should be noted that while Trump's ban covers these countries,
On this very inauspicious Friday the 13th, it was nearly 42 years ago to the day that President Gerald Ford bluntly told the nation this.
And I must say to you that the state of the union is not good.
Folks, with just 7 days until this inauguration, you could argue that American democracy and American leadership are facing a crisis of confidence, the likes of which we haven't seen in a very long time. Democrats have aggressively gone after Trump. They've aired their grievances about his policies, his temperament, and the election process. But it was clear that questioning the legitimacy of the office of the presidency was a line they would not cross until now.
It's time for Donald Trump to resign as president. Admittedly, it's been an interesting couple of days, but for any patriotic American capable of adding two and two and not getting 1.5 million, this is enough. If you voted for Trump or you support him now or you're saying give him a chance, again, I'm not going to yell at you or call you names. I'm not going to try to argue any policies. I'm not going to debate the size of his crowds nor whatever your conclusions are about Saturday's marches. In fact, I'm going to compliment you on your generosity toward him and the sincerity of your belief in his promises and your natural, your commendable desire to see him and thus see our country succeed. But this man is not of sound mind. In office, faster and more frighteningly than at any point in the campaign, over the span of just a long weekend, really, Trump has proved that not only will he lie to America about anything big or small, but that just as importantly, he will lie to himself about anything big or small. And more troubling yet, he will compel men, weaker even than himself, to lie on his behalf about anything big or small. And worst of all, the lies will convince some people, and they will convince one person, especially dangerous in particular, Donald Trump. Because what Trump does not believe cannot be true. And that way lies madness and lies every evil imaginable, including the end of this country in a literal sense, perhaps the end of civilization. Because like somebody who's strung out on drugs or somebody who's living in a complete dreamlike state caused by profound, pulsating narcissism, he will not believe that the outcome of any of his actions could be failure or disaster or even something that could be harmful to himself. A man who could accuse the Central Intelligence Agency of trying to undermine him and ask rhetorically of the conduct of that agency, quote, are we living in Nazi Germany? A man who could do that and then 10 days later go and stand in front of the shrine of its fallen agents and insist with a straight face, with every word he said and motion that he made suggesting he really believes this, he could say, quote, they sort of made it sound like I had a feud with the intelligence community, and I just want to let you know the reason you're the number one stop is it is exactly the opposite. A man who could insist to those same men and women at the CIA that it stopped raining the moment he started to give his inaugural address when you saw the rain falling on him. That is the kind of man who could convince himself that it would be just fine to start a nuclear war. Because, of course, he would survive the retaliatory attack, and so would his family, and so would whatever people he thinks are his friends, or to use his word, his fans. Of course they would all survive the retaliation because he's Donald Trump, and bad things cannot happen to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
At the CIA, Trump told the agents there that he has, quote, a running war with the media. He does not have a running war with the media. He has a running war with reality. His reality is what he says it is. He has an advisor who came out and said Sunday that when you deliberately contradict reality, that that is not lying or deceiving, but rather that's using, quoting her, alternative facts. You try alternative facts in your life for 1 hour. Let me know how it goes. Drive on whichever side of the road you want to. Stop wearing the safety glasses. Let the kids use the stove and the power tools. Write checks for money you don't have. Because ignoring the warnings and instructions is not courting a disaster. It's just a set of alternative facts. This is crazy. And even if, God willing, it never gets to the point where this kind of delusional thinking is employed during an international crisis or here at home during some kind of threat or disaster, even if Trump's ability to turn off reality like a light switch never actually threatens us and our children and all we know, what does it mean about that key promise that he made to you to unrig the system, to level the playing field, to never be beholden to Goldman Sachs as he claimed his opponent was, like he promised? Like he seemed to promise before he hired three people from Goldman Sachs and one from Wells Fargo and one from Rothschild Investments. You knew this before that speech at the CIA or this crazy argument about how big the crowds at the inauguration were or whether it was sunny and only he could see that it was sunny. You may have even known this before you voted for him and you just hoped it was going to go away when he took over. But it isn't going away. It's getting worse. He's crazy. We will all be lucky to survive having had him in charge. And even if we do survive, it will still be the greatest crisis of our lives. All our lives. Look, I don't want a President Pence, but I will take him and his policies. And I'll fight the policies, but the man, we can debate the man in 2020, in the election. This is not about policies, or conservative, or liberal, or rigged systems, or marches, or making America great again. This is about a man, not in his right mind, who now has nuclear weapons. It is the greatest crisis of all of our lives right now. But together, we can fix it peacefully. He just has to resign, or if he won't, there are provisions for the Republicans to remove him because he is so sick. We can fix it, and then we can sleep at night again. And you and I can go back to yelling at each other about politics and enjoying ourselves again. I thank you for listening.
All right. Thanks, Keith. That's Keith Olbermann. And he's always got something colorful to say about Trump. But I do kind of believe him in sorts that Trump, if we don't do something about Donald Trump, he's going to get us all killed. That is no doubt about it. This man is totally unstable, unfit, and should not be nowhere near nuclear weapons, but he is. And I'm looking at an article right here that says Trump calls concept of a meeting with Chicago gangs a great idea. So basically, he's going to meet with Chicago gangs. I think that's a good idea. I actually think that's a good idea. That's something that we have been trying for years to get Obama to do. Because I do think that if Obama had the courage to go to some of these high crime neighborhoods in his hometown, that a lot of this violence would have been curtailed. We have been trying to get Obama to meet with some of these gangbangers, go to some of these communities out here in the city of Chicago for the longest. He would not come. I mean, we've had prominent leaders ask Obama to come to Chicago to try to stop the carnage. He never came. Instead, his sights were on gay marriage, refugees, Mexicans, making all of these people citizens, or making sure that they are, as they're doing now, in sanctuary cities and not being able to be deported. His mind was on more of that than coming to Chicago and talking to some of these gangbangers, whom a lot of these gangbangers actually asked for. They asked for Obama to come. They was wondering why he did not come or he wouldn't come. And a lot of us in the community and around the city of Chicago wondered that too. But now Trump saying that he has an idea, that the idea of meeting with Chicago gangs is a great idea. So if he comes to Chicago and some of these high crime neighborhoods that he's been talking about, what the hell is going on in Chicago? If he comes, if he has a poor imitation of Trump, that'll be great. Anything is worth a try with the carnage that's going on in the city of Chicago, the gunning down, the shootings, the killings, the murders. Anything is worth a try to get Chicago crime rate down. If he can do it, he can do it. He always said he can do it, but, you know, Donald Trump says he can do a lot of things. And, you know, and even as president, his powers are limited, you know. And if he can come here and talk to some of these gangbangers from, you know, telling them how fortunate they are to be alive and they can do much greater things besides picking up a gun and going out shooting people or robbing or thugging. That would be great. That would be great. I have no problem with that. I'm pretty sure the city has no problem with that. You know, even if he, let's say if Donald Trump does come to Chicago, like this article is saying, the headline, even by that simple gesture would probably say a lot to some of these gangbangers and thugs in some of these communities. You know, that would resonate around the world. That would resonate around the world. Okay. All right. Thank you too, Joy. Thank you. You were great. You were wonderful. I hope to have you back on the show. My guest who I just had on the show, she sent me a Facebook post saying thank you. And I don't know if she's listening to the show now or not, but once I send her the link to the show, she will have the link and she can put it on her Facebook, her first Facebook account or her website or blog, whatever she has. I think she was great. She was wonderful. There's no doubt about it. She had a speech impediment, but so do I. So there's nothing to that. Anyway, let's get back to talking about Donald Trump saying that he thinks the idea of coming to Chicago to meet with Chicago's gangs is a good idea. You know, I mean, I think that's a great idea, too. I honestly think that's a great idea. If he can do something to stop the violence in the city of Chicago, it's welcomed. And I'm pretty sure the superintendent and the mayor are thinking the same thing. And that will go so far as, and I do think that if he does this, I think it's going to be a difference, going to make a difference, maybe even make a difference to the point where we won't even need the National Guard, you know, like I've been espousing for a long time. Maybe we won't need them because we'll have the most powerful leader in the United States on the south and west sides of the city trying to get these guys to put the guns down and stop the shootings and stop the killings. That would go a long way in the city of Chicago. I mean, that would go a long way. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Amazon.com. I've got plenty of work up there, folks. Download something, read it, enjoy it, have fun. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Google. I'm all over the place. I'm just like Joy. I'm all over the place. And it's fun. It's fun. And I hope she keeps up poetry because she's such a, I mean, it was just so riveting what she was reading, especially the poetry part. I see why people run out to buy her books because she's such an engaged writer. And I wish her all the luck in the world. I truly wish her all the luck in the world. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's see if we're going to take a Scarlett O'Hara. I think we played that one already. I truly do wish her a lot of luck with what she's doing because she's such a talented young lady. And that's what we need in the world. We need people with talent. We need people who are going to go out and change the world with whatever they're doing, with whatever they're doing that's positive. And Joy Elin is one of those people. All right, folks, let me. Okay. All right, folks, let me. Okay, it's over. Okay. All right, folks, let me read a little bit of this article. This article where Trump calls for an idea. He has an idea of meeting with Chicago gangs. A great idea. I think it's a great idea, too. I really do. I mean, I'm criticized. I'm critical of Trump, a lot of things he does, but this is phenomenal. Okay, Washington. This is Washington. At a meeting Wednesday with members of the African-American community, President Trump, okay, again, talked about Chicago's violence, saying if the city officials don't take steps, we're going to solve the problem for them, suggesting that direct intervention with the street gang leaders might be a good idea. Okay. Okay. This is Trump. I'm quoting him. Because we're going to have to do something, Trump said. What's happening in Chicago should not be happening in this country. I totally agree with him. I'm on board with that. Like I said before, I criticize Trump where I see it's needed. But sometimes this guy says something that I might agree with. Okay, I might agree with it. And it should not be happening in this country. What's happening in Chicago in terms of the crime, the shootings and all this stuff, it should not be happening in this country. This is not Chicago. This is not shouldn't be a part of this country. But somehow, I'm going to say this, the police can't get a handle on it. And they get paid to serve and protect, but they cannot do this. Maybe they need the help that they say they don't want in the terms of the National Guard. But something has to be done. And even with this, this is great. Will he come to the city of Chicago and meet with some of these damn gangbangers on the west and south sides of the city? Let me put it this way, folks. I live in the city of Chicago, and I live on the north side of the city. I'm in my studio near the lake. Crime is not, as I speak, crime is not permeated throughout the city. The entire city of Chicago is not up for grabs with the bad guys shooting up the entire city. It's only in two specific areas of the city, south and west sides of the city, are the crime written in some areas, not the entire sides of the north. Of the south and west side of the city, but only sections of it, parts of it, because Chicago is a beautiful city. Okay, it's a beautiful city, and not the whole city is not being people are not running through the streets shooting all day and all night. That's not happening. Okay, not on every side of the city. Majority of the shootings and killings occur on the north. Not on the north, on the west and south sides of the city. Okay, and only in sections. And that would be a great thing for him to do, to visit the sides, these sides of the city that are hotbeds of crime, these low-income areas, these areas where there is people with low education. There's no doubt about it. I do agree that a lot of these areas with high crime, they do need resources. That's no doubt about it. They do need some resources in a lot of those communities, stores, places they can go, parks, schools, libraries. They need resources, jobs, education. But like I said before, earlier in the show, the bad guys, they don't give a damn about jobs. They don't give a damn about education. They care about shooting somebody. They care about driving around and, you know, shooting someone. This is what the bad guys care about. They don't give a damn about education. This is why I say the National Guard would be welcome in some of these neighborhoods, regardless of what these politicians say and some of these leaders out here saying, you know. But if there can be another viable alternative to the National Guard, another viable alternative to just putting resources in the neighborhood, I'm all for it. The neighborhood and the community, I'm all for it. But don't condemn me because and others like me because we want to see the murder rate go down in the city of Chicago or eliminate it altogether. Don't condemn me for that. You say, if you're going to say anything, say that the George Wilder Jr. Show wants to help to bring down the crime in the city of Chicago by any means necessary. Any means necessary. Yet, because this is the month of this is the month of February, right here. This is February, February 1st. Now, by February 28th, I mean, we're going to have, if nothing's done, we're going to have about 30 to 40 people killed in the city of Chicago by the end of February. We don't want that. We don't want that. We don't want February 2017 crime statistics to be higher than January 2017 crime statistics. We don't want that, but it's possible. It's possible. Then March, more carnage. April, more carnage. You're going to have to do something. You can't just let this go like this. I mean, we pay the police officers a lot of money. These cops get a lot of money. The superintendent of police, Eddie Johnson, six-figure salary, and they can't seem to get a handle on what's going on in these neighborhoods. They're coming up with all of this, some things, maybe a few plans. We'll see if they work out. I haven't got the specifics on a lot of things, but they said they're coming up with some new stuff, some new technology in the neighborhood to figure out where the shots are coming from. They can hear shots, you know, but that's good. You can hear shots anywhere. That doesn't mean that you're going to catch the bad guy. Oh, I heard a shot over here on Carpenter. You know, so if you hear a shot, the guy done probably got in the way, shot somebody and then got in the way. But anyway, I don't want to be too much of a critic on this. I don't want to be too much of a wet blanket either, because anything is welcome in the city of Chicago if it's going to, you know, lower the crime rate. And that's what it's all about. I think that's what all Chicagoans should be about, is lowering the crime rate in the city of Chicago. I mean, if you live in Detroit or Cleveland and you have a high crime rate, you are thinking the same thing. You want a safe city to live in. You want the police to be able to serve and protect. This is what they get paid for. You know, and getting back to Donald Trump, if he wants to come here and meet with gangbangers, if he's really serious about it, come on. You know, we welcome you. I mean, we welcome anything that's going to, especially the police department and the mayor's office. We welcome anybody. I mean, if you got a plan or idea, and this is what the mayor has been touting for a long time. If you got a plan or idea, let me hear it. And then if you come up with a plan or idea, oh, we can't use that. We don't want the National Guard here. You know, I mean, when people turn down the National Guard, you know, that's telling me that they're just out there for photo ops, stringing along, you know, weak-minded people. This is what the National Guard is for. This is what they do. This is why they're on call. This is what they're on call for. Give me a break. Give me a break. I don't care who you are out there. I disagree with you. But if you can find some other way of solving the crime in the city of Chicago without the National Guard, I'm all with you. But until then, you know, shut the hell up and do something about what's going on in the city of Chicago. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want to thank my guest, Joy Elan. And let me talk a little bit more about bring your own bag. I've said this before at the beginning of the show, that I think everybody should bring their own bags. I mean, especially in the city of Chicago, because if you're going shopping anywhere within the city of Chicago and you need a bag, bring it. Protest these high taxes. I mean, just protest them, you know, just you get mad as hell and just say, hey, well, I'm not going to buy a 7-cent bag. I'm not going to buy an 11-cent bag. I got my own bags. I'm not going to be paying these damn taxes. Every time you look around, you're paying a tax. If the mayor and the city council see that you are paying these taxes, they're going to look around and see what else they're going to tax you on. Let these people know that you are pissed off, tired, and angry, and that you're not going to be paying every damn tax that they come up with. and then given the excuse that paying taxes is somehow going to benefit you, that it's good for you. You know, as if, you know, taxing the soda, the sugar tax, saying that, well, hey, we're taxing the Coke because we don't want you to get diabetes. We don't want you to get fat. So we're going to put a 12-cent tax on it. Don't buy Coke. Don't buy any of that stuff. The best thing you can drink is water. And they're going to find a way to tax that. You start buying bottles and bottles and bottles of water, they're going to tax that. They're already taxing it, but they're going to tax it more. The more you buy, the more you need, the more you things that you have to use, they're going to tax it. They're going to tax it. You know, if they could, they'd tax the damn air we breathe. Tax the sidewalk that we walk down the street to our cars. They're going to tax that. I'm pretty sure it's already taxed. It's just crazy. So if you're in the city of Chicago and you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, starting today for the rest of the year and from now on, bring your own bag if you're going out shopping. I don't care where it is. That is one way to protest these high-ass and ongoing tax increases in the city of Chicago. It's just ridiculous. It's just plain old ridiculous.
My son has been arrested for walking while black. So I get it.
A lot of sons have been
arrested. Yeah, I get it. It doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. Stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
Chicago is a sanctuary city, as probably the world knows. We are a sanctuary city. And I don't think I have to give you a definition of sanctuary city because I'm pretty sure you're smart enough to know. But anyway, the other day, the mayor had about 6 or 7 illegals in his house. He's shielding them from deportation because the Trump administration says they're going to, you know, take money from cities who are shielding and hiding and refuse to give any information on where to find illegals so they can be deported. So the mayor, I mean, this guy really cares for illegals. He really, really cares for them. And he had them at his house. It looks as though the cameras were there. It looks as if they were having dinner. He's just showing Donald Trump that Donald Trump is not going to get anywhere with trying to get information out of the people of Chicago to where to find and deport illegal aliens, the Dreamers, I believe. And it was just something, folks. It was really weird to see, if I can say weird. It was weird to see that he had all of these illegals in his home. And they were sitting at the table having dinner, it looks like. And the cameramen were there, and like I said. But it was just strange. And, you know, I guess he's going to, once Trump pulls money from sanctuary cities, they're probably going to live there permanently. Who knows? Because he is really adamant about illegal aliens. It seemed like he was crying because Trump wants to deport them, and he signed an executive order doing that. So if anybody defies his executive order on deportation, he's going to pull money from sanctuary cities that goes to benefit illegal aliens. I don't know, saying alien is just make, I don't know, saying alien makes you think that these people are from the Mars or from the moon or something. These are people. I don't know why I keep saying that, but it's just so embedded in my head that to call them illegal aliens, but illegal Mexicans, put it that way. But that they were in his home and they were having dinner. I mean, more power to him if he can pull that off, you know. So, wow.
Bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has to crawl.
Everybody, the George Wilder Jr. Show is just about off the air. I want to thank my guest once again, Joy Elon, for being such a great, great guest. Hope to have her back on the show. We will end it right here, folks, and I hope you join me tomorrow. Thanks for joining me today. You guys have a great, great evening. Bye-bye.